Take your Bibles. Turn to Psalm chapter 147 or 48, if you would. And when you get there, would you stand with me? The reason I want you to stand with me is because we're proclaiming the word of God right now. And I think it's proper, as we proclaim the word of God, to remember whose word it is. So, would you read along with me? Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the skies. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every created thing give praise to the Lord. For he issued his command, and they came into being. He set them into place forever and ever. His decree will never be revoked. Praise the Lord from the earth, you creatures of the ocean depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, wind and weather that obey him. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all livestock, small scurrying animals and birds, kings of the earth and all people, rulers and judges of the earth, young men and young women, old men and children. Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and heaven. He has made his people strong, honoring his faithful ones, the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. Would you just now lift your praise to God as where you stand right now? We thank you. Father, we thank you. We praise you for everything that you've done, for everything that you are, for all that you've created, for making us your people, for making us strong. We praise you. Praise the Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. In the name of Jesus. We exalt you, Father. Amen. Go ahead, have a seat. If you were here with us last week, that was one of the psalms that we looked into. And we looked at the truth that when we feel out of whack with God, and we feel that we need to get back to center with Jesus, praise. Mm-hmm. Praise is an on-ramp to that path of life. Mm-hmm. And we really looked at that. Anything other than proclaiming the truth of who God is and what he has done really is not the truth. Mm-hmm. And anything that he hasn't said is true is an off-ramp from that path of life. And being centered with Jesus keeps us on the path of life. And we've got to be diligent with it, because scripture tells us that path, it's narrow. And that it's even hard to find. Anyone want to testify to that on days that you know that you're saved, but you don't feel like you're living? That path of life can be so difficult. And we can be so easily deceived by other things, because they're so easily obtained. Remember, the other path is, it's broad, it's wide, it's well-traveled, it's easy to find. But praise, it's not just something that we need to practice when we feel out of center with Christ. Praise is who we're supposed to be. It's what we are created for. It is our design to proclaim the wonders of our Creator. And you see, even in this psalm, it points to God's creation. And Scripture says that all of creation does what? It proclaims, yes, it groans. It groans, but let's look at what the positive thing that it does. It groans because we've been separated from our Creator and separated in the design that we're supposed to have. But Scripture says that all creation, what? Proclaims the glory of the Lord. Okay, what does that mean to proclaim the glory of the Lord? All right? Think about it for a second. See, I like to ask questions about these statements we throw around in church.
To tell others.
Okay? To tell others, to share.
Not only to tell, but to show.
To show, okay? To advertise it. Okay, now I like that. There is a statement that we can understand, right? You ever get that when you read Scripture? Where you're reading it and you've kind of got the general concept, idea, but it is maybe not resonating? Well, part of the reason is because it's written in the experience and the language and the understanding of the authors. It was a different culture. So that proclaiming, you know, that praising, that, oh, it's advertising the glory of the Lord. So think about that the next time you see an amazing sunset. What's it doing? It's proclaiming, but it's advertising what? The glory of God. Okay, now, next question. What's the glory of God?
Is this a trick question?
No, it's not a trick question. Well, yes, that's what he says we are, but that doesn't tell me what is what glory is. Say that again. Which are what? Kara says they're his character. See, that's what God's glory is. It's his character. It's his goodness. It's his kindness. Okay, but that's not just things that, you know, are sort of abound. He's not just sort of good. He's not just sort of kind. It's where goodness and kindness, where we even understand what it really is. So God's glory is all the good things about him. That's what his glory is. It's, man, look at God. We can't come to an end. Now, what's awesome and amazing is the scriptures say that his character is so amazing, it shines like light. I mean, it has a physical representation. It is so good, bam, it shines. It's blinding. So the next time you see that sunset, what's happening? That sunset is what?
God's glory.
It's advertising who God is. Tonight when I was driving down here to get ready, I was driving down Old Owen, and when you come down the hill on Old Owen, you enter kind of that tunnel of trees right there, you know? And, you know, to be honest, during the summer and the spring and stuff, I like that tunnel of trees because there's some light that's there, you know, because the sun's a little higher in the sky and all that. But during the winter, it's just kind of dark, and it's wet, and it's, you know, mossy and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm driving through there, and I come down, and as it kind of flattens out, just below the clouds and just above the horizon, the sun is just right there. And it was so cool. Because the Holy Spirit just said to me, you know, that makes you squint. And you have to turn your eyes from it. But the sun's not even a fair representation of the glory of God. Oh, it's a stepping stone for you to understand how brilliant God's character is. And you know what it led me to do? Praise him. Praise him. Now, I was the only one in the car, so I was advertising it to myself. But guess what? It's a good thing. Because I need to remind myself to buy into that more often. That it doesn't matter how dark things are. It doesn't matter whether it's fall, winter, spring, summer. God's glory is greater than any of that has to offer. And all those seasons, they advertise his greatness. But we've got to not just have moments of praise. It has to be who we are. If we're going to stay centered on Jesus, if we are going to be the church that God created the church to be, we have to understand that we have to get back to the purpose of our creation. And not just the creation of the church, but of humanity, of creation itself. We have got to become the best advertisers of God's character that we can possibly be. You see, because that's when we get in step with Jesus. Because do you know what? Every moment of Jesus' life here on earth proclaimed, advertised the glory of the Father. Do you understand when Jesus said, I don't do anything that I haven't heard from the Father? Do you know what he's saying? What the Father instructs is worth listening to. It's worth not doing anything until he says. That's proclaiming the greatness of the Father. When he says, I don't do anything that I haven't already seen the Father do, what is he saying? What I can do on my own, it doesn't hold a candle to what I've seen the Father do. And the best thing that I can do is copy him and become one. Oh, what is he doing? He's proclaiming the goodness of the Father that comes out in the Father's deeds. It's praise. When he's saying, I don't move until he instructs me, he's saying, praise the Lord. When he says, I don't say anything I haven't heard him say, he's saying, praise the Lord. That church, is when we will truly know that we are in step with Jesus. When we want every moment of our life to advertise the character of the Father. And not just in words, but to say, I've accepted the goodness of the Father. I've bought into it. This isn't just, you know, We've paid an advertising company to come up with some fancy slogan. No, we're talking it up because of what it's done for us. What the Father means to us. That he's become life itself. And we believe that apart from him, we're dead. And he loves you, and I love you, and I don't want you to be dead. So I'll proclaim life by praising the Lord, by advertising his character. Now, you know, sometimes we do have to advertise that to ourselves. But you see, that's not where the Father wants us to stay. See, I've become convinced that if I'm constantly having to advertise the character of the Father to myself, I'm not really buying into it. I haven't really completely accepted it, because Jesus said that if I understood who he was, I'd ask him for a drink and he'd give me living water. And that it would never run out. And, you know, he said that he was the bread of life, that I never have to worry, that I would always be fed, always be satisfied. So why do I find myself up and down? One moment I'm like, the next moment I'm like, oh, sure, there are plenty of things where life is extremely difficult. There's a battle that's going on. That's what Paul said. He said that we need to understand the battle so great, we need to get ourselves in armor every day before we leave the house so that we don't get caught unprotected. And sure, there's going to be times that we're going to have to advertise the character of God to ourselves because we need to recover. Because we need healing from the brokenness of life. But if we're just finding ourselves getting tossed about by every wind and wave, have we really bought into the goodness of God? Have we bought into what we proclaim about his power and his strength? If we're so easily tossed by things he created, spoke into existence. Or maybe it is that we buy in to it for the moment, but we're not diligent enough to stay. Oh, I'm ADD. I mean, it takes nothing to pull my attention off of something. So does that mean that that's just what I'm given to in my relationship to God? Or do I need to be more diligent in saying, God, I proclaim your strength. I proclaim your greatness. I proclaim that your promise that you go before me and that you walk behind me, that you have me surrounded on all sides, and I believe that you are strong enough to overcome my distraction. Praise the Lord that you're stronger than my ADD, because I'm not. And guess what? If I continue to proclaim that again and again and again, at some point, I've bought into it. I don't have to advertise it to myself anymore, because it's become the nature of my relationship with the Father. You see, but it's not about my strength. It's not about my ability. It's not about my character. It's about his. Man, you know, in comparison of my character to his character, there's nothing to advertise. So why wouldn't I want to push him out in front and make more of him than of myself? Because I can't live up to my advertising. But he never comes up short. You cannot come up with something about God's character and greatness and overpromote it. Especially when you're promoting it to yourself. So I want you to do, if you have your journals and you're here last week. If you remember, I asked you to begin to write a list of all the things in your life that come from the Father that you're thankful for. And if you remember, we ended with me saying, take that one thing in your life that gives you the most hassle, worry, brings the most fear, the thing that you feel that you can't overcome, and do you remember what I asked you to do at that time? To write a psalm. And the psalm was to start with find one thing in that situation or about that person or your finances or whatever it is, one thing to thank God for. Because it's there. Because his character is good, right? He always deals with us out of the context of his love for us, right? Because he is love. And yes, Donna, he also says that he's what? He's good. So, is there ever a time when you're going through something if the other proclamation through scripture that everything comes to us from him, and based on his character, that he is always good. He always deals with us in love and with kindness. Is there ever a time that you're going through something, if you believe in what God proclaims about himself, that you can't find one thing that's worthy of praise? Now, I'm not talking about praise of another individual. They're creation. They're fallen just like you. I'm not talking about one thing to praise about the circumstance. I'm talking about one thing that you can find that you know has come from him. And because of his character, it's worthy of praise. It's worthy of gratefulness. Megan, can I pick on you? All right, could you come up here? I won't pick on her too much, Dad. So, one of the things that I have absolutely loved over the last couple months here on Sunday nights is whoever is leading worship begins to preach my message. And we haven't talked about it. Whether it's Robin or Leo or even when the teenagers get up here. And tonight, Megan gets up here and begins to share about something that happened this week. And she started to speak, and I'm like, she's preaching the message. And I wanted to follow up a little bit because the scripture we're going to look at really speaks to what Megan was saying. So you find yourself this week in discouragement, okay? Maybe a little fear mixed in, okay? Anxiety. Yes, okay, and we could probably make a list of some more things. And you find yourself sitting down and spending some time with God. Okay, so that's how you started?
That's how I started.
Okay.
I'm anxious about this. I'm going to pray. We're going
to... Right, which was a scripture...
Give it over to God.
Which was a scripture we actually talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this anxiety, this fear, this worry, this discouragement starts to overtake her. The Holy Spirit reminds Megan of the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, here's the truth, Megan. If you come talk to me, we can get past this. Mm-hmm. We can overcome this.
Yep.
Okay, so now at that point, what choices does Megan have?
To go pray?
It's pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She can either choose to follow the Spirit's leading and go pray, or not follow the Spirit's leading and not pray. Okay. If she chooses not to follow the Spirit's leading and not pray, what's the path?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Spiral.
Because she's already on that path, isn't she?
Yep.
Is that the path of life?
No.
Did it feel like life?
No.
What did it feel like?
Hopeless.
Hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
Is that life?
No.
Because the Father and his truth gives us what? Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of our faith, isn't it? Because faith is... What? It is that what we believe and what we hope for will actually come true. So now she is at that position to take God at his word.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're right. When I am worried,
mm-hmm.
you say pray. Now I'm going to go do it, and I hope
mm-hmm.
that you come through on your promise.
And then I'll find that peace.
Right. Okay, so now, when you decide that you're going to go do it, okay, just kind of give us, what did you do?
You want the ugly truth of it?
Yeah. Because we don't need false advertising, right?
No. So no, I began to pray, and it was the battle.
Okay, and what?
Those feelings.
Describe the battle. What's going on?
I began to, okay, this is my prayer, this is my hope, this is my... declaration, God, I believe you can do this. I know that you're faithful to do... Oh, no, I didn't do that. Because that would have helped.
It would have, huh?
No, I just started asking, you know, God, I need this, or this is the problem.
Okay.
I don't know what to do, but I know you do.
And what sort of thoughts were battling against those?
Honestly... It was for my kids and raising my kids and protection for my kids. And I began to look at other people's lives
mm-hmm.
that I know are parents that have prayed for their kids.
Yeah.
And I've not seen the truth that God was taking care of them.
Okay, so stop for a moment. Can I just say right now, and you need to write this down, comparison is an off-ramp on the path of life.
So I knew that these parents, their cry for their kids was just as deep as my cry. So why would God answer mine any different than what I've seen, whatever happened, how he answered theirs?
Right.
That he didn't answer him how the parent wanted for their children.
So why is comparison such an off-ramp?
It's not God.
Because she's trying to bring the truth in, and she starts with proclaiming what God has said, but now her focus is on
mm-hmm.
what he hasn't done,
and
or
in
her perception.
Yeah. And that's where my cry was, well, who am I that you're going to listen to me if you haven't listened to these parents that I've seen?
Okay. Write this down. Self-pity. Is an off-ramp.
Woe is me.
Now, I'm not talking about being truthful and honest with ourselves about our true condition, but when we're in the midst of comparison, we say, oh God, you wouldn't even listen to me. That's not a true looking at us. It's self-pity. And it's a really fast off-ramp off the path of life.
Yeah, because then I shut up after that. And it got real quiet.
And then what happened from there?
God said to remember.
Remember what?
What he's done. His faithfulness. His goodness. That his plans that he has for us are good.
So why do you think he told you to remember?
Because those are the answers to those prayers. Those are what he's done and what he will do, what he's faithful to do.
Which points to what? Not just the answers. It points to his character.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The giver of the answers. The one who, when you went to him before, said, Megan, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But here. And you see, another off-ramp is to not remember. It's to forget. And listen, God tells us again and again. He instructed the Israelites again and again. Here, do this so what? You will
remember.
Build this, you know, stack these rocks up here so you will. And not just remember, but that you will tell your children and your grandchildren of what?
What he's done.
Okay, not the answer?
Goodness.
No, of the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the character of God. Yes, he did these deeds, but he could do them because he's God. Is that what you were remembering?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened when you started to remember?
Well, like I was saying, that the peace came. That it didn't matter what anyone else's circumstances were, what any other answers he gave were. It didn't matter what even the answers or what was going to happen with these worries or these concerns. My focus was then on him and knowing that he loves us. He loves me. And really that was all that mattered in proclaiming his faithfulness and proclaiming his love, that he is good. And I kind of just forgot about what I was praying about at that point.
So I ask you, at the beginning when you started to remember, did you ever have a moment that came up?
Yeah, there was. It's you kind of have to push yourself into it. It's okay. Not this, oh yeah, God's good. Oh, we're good. We're done.
Yeah.
It's this, he's good. Yeah, but he's good. Yeah, but he's good. He's faithful. And you just have to kind of chugga through it.
Yeah, you know, and I said this last week, yeah, but is an off-ramp. When we're faced with God's promises and he reminds us of what he has done for us in the past, and we say, yeah, but. He's going, there's the on-ramp. And we're like, where? Because we're saying, yeah, but. And we're trying to convince the Holy Spirit that it's not going to be the same. Which, in essence, we're saying, Holy Spirit, God's not powerful enough to overcome it this time.
Can I add another thing?
Absolutely.
Too? Being on that off-ramp or seeing it, you kind of, sometimes you get in that moment where you're like, okay, yeah, but I'm not quite ready because I'm not sure if I get going that it is going to lead me back up there. There's that hesitation of, okay, but do I trust that if I go that direction that's where you're going to, that it's going to be okay?
Yeah. You know, when I was teaching my kids how to drive, the first time we get on the freeway, you know what I learned I had to overcome with all three of them was the hesitation that put them out of position. that when you come up that on-ramp and getting and merging into that traffic, there has to be a confidence. Mm-hmm. What did James say? That if you need wisdom, ask who? Okay? Who will what? And never reject you for asking. Okay? So push right through that. God, you wouldn't even listen to me. Mm-hmm. No, I promised. I wouldn't reject you if you came and asked me for wisdom. But James says, you know, when you ask, don't ask like an unbeliever or a double-minded person. That means you're going, you're wavering. No, hit the gas pedal. So as you begin to press the accelerator in remembering what God had done for you, then you said that that's all of a sudden you weren't remembering what it was that you were worried about. Mm-hmm. And there's a momentum that that happens. When the peace came, which was stronger, the peace or the fear?
Oh, no, the peace. Yeah.
Can you?
For me, singing is the way that I express myself and worship. And once that peace settled in, then the song came. And I just began to worship him and declaring it and kind of just like, every breath I have, I will praise the Lord.
Yeah.
No matter what comes. It was kind of one of those moments where like, this is it. This is God gave me breath, I'm going to praise him. And nothing's going to keep me from praising God.
Now, you said this when you shared with us earlier. Mm. You don't have any answers.
No. Sorry, no, I don't have any answers.
But isn't that why you sat down to pray?
No, I wanted the peace to know that it was going to be okay.
Oh, that's interesting. Remember what I said earlier, that God wants to move us beyond just having to advertise to ourselves? See, that's a maturity in Megan's relationship with her father. You see, she didn't go to the father for answers because he's taught her something. The peace is more important. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's my girl.
You know, that's such an important thing for us to grasp onto. Because it deals with the very character of God himself. You see, God doesn't want all of our answers to be given to us. God doesn't want us to believe that whatever is causing us the angst and the worry, if it's taken care of, that it's going to last. No, he wants us to remember not the provision, but the provider. And when we get focused on the provider, then what he thinks is most important becomes most important to us. You see, Megan's had enough experience with God to know bringing the provision's the easy part. Bringing peace to her soul, however, that's like moving a mountain. And that's not hard for him, but he wants us to move mountains. Not in our strength, but Jesus said to the disciples, you ask anything in my name. Even the mountain be cast into the sea. If you ask it with the heart of my Father, with that understanding, be assured that whatever you ask for, I'll give it to you. See, there's no way when Megan sits down and says, Father, I need peace, that he's going to say no. See, but he knows that what he needs to do to bring peace to Megan is get her back on the path of life. Get her back in alignment with him. And you see, that's it. The gratefulness, the thankfulness, it washes away so many things. And you see, we have to understand something. And take your Bibles and turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. 12. Starting in verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. It has come at last, salvation and power, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. The one who accuses them before God, before our God, day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens rejoice, but terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. See, I want us to understand a couple of things tonight. See, for us to be in sync, in tune with the Father and with Jesus, we must understand what they know. We must look at what has been revealed to us. We must believe and accept that our struggles here on this earth are less physical than they are spiritual. Now, our struggle is that when we were born, and for a majority of our lives, our focus has been the physical. Our focus has been the manifestations of what is happening in the spiritual. But the problem is, it's like focusing on the wound instead of focusing on what caused the wound. I mean, there's a moment after the wound is inflicted that it needs to be tended to, but if you want to ensure that that wound doesn't happen again, what do you need to do? Stare at the wound? No, deal with what caused the wound. If there's a tack in your carpet and you step on it, is it not foolish after you're finished writhing in pain on the floor to attempt to locate and remove the tack? We've got to understand that what is happening to cause us anxiety, to cause us pain, that sometimes we are responsible for those things. But many times, we're part of something that we haven't accepted. Paul says that we are part of a spiritual battle. And even the context of what he is saying is, hey, when you have disagreements with people, stop focusing on each other. Do you understand that you have an enemy that is playing you against each other? That is stirring things up in you that are lies and deceptions. And especially us as believers, because we're covered with the blood of Christ, so what he is allowed to do to us and with us is limited unless we let him. So what his favorite tactic is, if he can't touch us, he'll get us beating on each other. But his most favorite is to get you beating on yourself. And his most powerful weapon is accusation. Now, let me ask you a question. Is accusation always the truth? In a court of law, is an accusation a conviction? What is it? It's an accusation. It's somebody saying you did something, whether it's true or not, right? Now, in our legal system, there's a law that says that you cannot be tried for something twice, right?
You can't be tried for
the same crime twice. Double indemnity. But you know what? Satan doesn't care. He doesn't care. And you know what? He also doesn't care that you're covered by the blood of Christ, which means if you commit another crime, and you can't be held responsible as far as the penalty of death. I'm not talking about consequences. But that God still sees you through the blood of Jesus, which means he's got nothing on you. You see, but the thing is he doesn't care because he knows that we still buy into it. And so, in our times when life's hard, when maybe we're tired or hungry, or we start comparing, or we're busy, so we're not taking the time to remember the goodness of God. You know what he begins to sneak in and do? Accuse you of not being a good parent. Accuse you of not doing enough for your kids. Accusing you of being too lenient. Accusing you of being too harsh. Accusing you, can we just keep going and going and going? But here's the thing. Your enemy, the devil, he knows the one that you bite. Now, here's the thing. Go back to the scripture. This is a picture. And before verse 10, it says that there was a war in heaven. And there's this battle going on. But there's this proclamation that's being shouted across the heavens. Question, if it's being shouted in heaven, is it true? Oh, you can count on it. And the proclamation is, this is it. It's come at last. What's come at last? Salvation and power. Is that significant stuff? Do you proclaim that in your life? Do you proclaim God's salvation? Oh, not just the time that you accepted Jesus. You know you have God's salvation every morning when you wake up. Because you're covered with his mercy. You just need to proclaim it. Use it as the on-ramp. What else? Salvation and what? Hey, you ever feel weak when the accusations come? You ever feel unworthy? Proclaim the power of God that is proclaimed in heaven along with your salvation. It's yours through the blood of Christ. And the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. Do you belong to Jesus tonight? Then you are under his authority, not the devil's. Don't give in to his lies. But what do you need to do to stand in it? You need to proclaim it. Where do you proclaim it? Through your praise, through your worship. I'm a child of God. I belong to him. Everything that he is mine. I remember what Jesus said, that I be in Jesus and he's in the Father and I'm in him and he's in me and we're all together. I don't lack anything, do I? But then the condemnation keeps coming and it keeps coming. What do you need to do to keep it from coming? Tell Satan he has no authority. Because God's Christ has the authority and you belong to him. Is that what you're doing, Megan, when you chose to remember what God has done for you in the past? No, God's truth has authority in my life, not the devil's lies. Let's go on. Verse 10, it says, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters. Who's that? Satan. The accuser of our brothers and sisters. The one who accuses them, has been thrown down to earth. You know, the one who accuses them before our God, how often?
Day and night.
Here's something about an accuser in court. The accuser is not the judge. What power does the accuser have? They have a power to make an accusation. Do they have a power to make a ruling? Oh, but he's standing before God day and night. Accusing you. Hey, have you ever thought about this? Because sometimes it's so easy to get ourselves separated and disconnected because of the big picture and language that's being spoken here. If you have accepted Jesus' salvation, what gift did he give you? That's part of the salvation, yes, but it's bigger. Say it out loud, Megan. The Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Therefore, when you're sitting in your chair at home and the enemy is whispering in your ear accusations, who else is sitting there with you? Think about that. You're sitting in God's court, right? And what power does the accuser have in his court? Well, for a time, he has the right to accuse you. But does it stick? Not in this court. Now listen to this. This is important. I cannot overemphasize the power of what I'm about to read to you. Now get the picture. This is Satan, our enemy, the enemy of our Lord, the father of lies. He is accusing you. He's accusing all of our brothers and sisters in front of God. Why? I'm not sure. I think he's hoping something will stick. But no, you know what? I think more than anything, it's his pure and unadulterated hatred for what God loves. He can't stand it. He can't stand you. He will do anything to destroy you. And if he can't destroy you, he'll destroy your joy, your peace, your contentment, your security, anything good that comes from the Father is a target in your life for the enemy because he despises Jesus. And Jesus says you're his. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and, can I emphasize that again? And by their testimony. I don't buy into his accusation. Because I know what Jesus has done for me. I am covered by his blood. Satan, you have no authority. Jesus is the only one that has authority in my life. What am I doing right now? I'm testifying. I'm testifying just to make myself feel better? No. I'm testifying what's being testified in heaven, shouted across the heavens, that salvation and power have come, the kingdom of God and his Christ, and it doesn't matter how much you hate me, it doesn't matter how many times you accuse me, you have nothing on Jesus, and I belong to him. Now get out. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of your lies. I'm tired of feeling dead. I'm tired of you telling me that Jesus is not enough. If it's good enough for heaven, it's good enough for me. Now enough. And I'm not standing in my strength. How foolish would that be? I was on the couch, like laid out, 20 seconds before I testified to the truth. You see, but here's the great thing. I mean, I know all of the things that we come up with. Yeah, but I never remember that at the right time, or, you know, I don't know the right thing. You know, Megan, who reminded you? The Holy Spirit. Church, do you understand that part of the Holy Spirit's job in our lives is to testify to us about the truth? But it's not just a remembrance type of thing to make us feel guilty. No, that's accusation and condemnation. That's not the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit's whispering in your ear going, testify this. Oh, this is good. This really ticks them off when you testify to this. The Spirit never testifies to us to condemn us. Oh, we may need a good, healthy dose of conviction at times. But that leads us to testify the truth as well. Therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, because of everything that has just been testified to, therefore, rejoice, O heavens. David said, praise the Lord, right? We're going to advertise the goodness of God's character. We're going to advertise that there's no condemnation because I'm in Jesus. It doesn't matter what Satan says. It doesn't matter the words he uses from somebody else to say to us, because we've gotten better at listening to the Holy Spirit and not letting him get to us directly. Oh, we're not letting our circumstances testify to us. We're not letting our understanding testify to us. No, we've heard the decree in heaven. Therefore, we rejoice. And you who live in heavens, rejoice. And we do remember this, that God has let Satan have a little more time. So we remember he's going to come at us again. But the next time we get hit, the next time the depression sets in, the next time we get hit by the wave of anxiety or accusation, what are we going to do? Oh, yeah, remember, but church, remember is only the stepping stone. What's the on-ramp once you remember? Rejoice. Praise the Lord. Worship him. Proclaim his character. Oh, he's come down in great anger, knowing that he has a little time. But what did Pastor Mike remind us of when we were taking communion tonight? Say it louder.
Jesus is coming again.
Say it louder.
Jesus is coming again.
Therefore,
rejoice.
Rejoice. rejoice. Would you stand with me? And could I have the worship team come up here? And would you guys, how great is our God? And as we're wrapping up tonight, I want you to take again that thing that most worries you. And I want to take just a moment before we sing. And I want you to do this. And I want you this week to practice this. You see, anxiety and fear and worry, all those things, those are alarms. See, we don't have to give in to them. What we need to do is listen. And when the alarm goes off, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to identify the enemy's accusation against you. Do you understand what I mean? You see, because I guarantee you, he's there somewhere telling you a lie about whatever it is that's worrying you. And ask the Holy Spirit to identify that accusation. And when he does, I want you to proclaim the proclamation of heaven. And I want you, in that proclamation, to understand that you will defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by your testimony in that morning, in that moment. And what will the testimony be? Well, whatever the accusation is, there's a truth or a promise from God's character that overrides the accusation. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you what that is. And then testify to it. Proclaim it. The power comes from the blood of the Lamb. The testimony comes from your mouth. And in combination, the enemy can't stand against it. So right now, just ask the Holy Spirit in that situation to identify the enemy's accusation against you. And while you're doing that, I want to speak to anybody here who hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is talking to you tonight. You see, but without the blood of the Lamb, even if he identifies the accusation, you don't have the strength to stand against the enemy. And the enemy, he, more than anything, doesn't want you to give your life to Jesus. And no, he'd rather see you dead. But all you have to do to step in to the authority of Jesus is to say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. And I believe that you came to this earth. And you taught us about the Father. And you showed us how to live with him and to live with each other. And then you went to the cross. And you gave up your life so that we could have the opportunity and the power to live that life that you showed us. I ask you for forgiveness of my sins. And I commit myself and my life to live it for you from this point on. Now you see, as soon as you accept Jesus' salvation, now you can stand in his power. And you are under his authority. And the enemy no longer has authority over you. Now, if the Spirit is identified to you, the enemy's accusation, right now, I want you to testify that you have accepted Jesus' salvation. And I mean all of you. I want you to tell the enemy that he has no right to accuse you of that, because you belong to Jesus. And you are covered by his blood. And you are under his authority. And with that, and with the understanding that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, I just want you to tell him in the name of Jesus to leave you alone, to go away. Scripture says that when we resist the devil, he has to flee. Testify it to him. Tell him that in the blood of Jesus, in the life that he's giving you, that you are resisting him. And you're no longer going to give him authority in that accusation. Now, the last thing that I want you to do is I want you to turn to Jesus and ask him to tell you the truth. If Satan's words were a lie, you need to hear the truth. Jesus, I ask that you speak truth to us tonight. Jesus, through your Holy Spirit, I ask that you would open our spiritual ears so that we can hear the truth tonight. Jesus, I ask that you would give us the faith that when we hear you speak truth to us, that we would believe it. Jesus, I ask tonight that you would increase our faith to believe that your truth spoken to us has more power than the enemy's accusation spoken to us. Jesus, I ask that you would give us discernment to know your voice over all others. And I ask this in your name.